If you're able, I invite you to stand and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Hear now the reading of God's word. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And then he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Thus far the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please be seated. I'd ask for a hands of how many people have read this before, heard sermons on it before, but I imagine just about everybody would raise their hand. But it also has things that are good reminders for us today. And that's why I'm bringing it up. So, you know, as we look at this, we often think of Abraham as being, you know, the father of the faith, and he is. But we also think in terms of him as being this solid, faithful man who, when he became a believer, he was that. And we kind of expect that of ourselves sometimes, or of others perhaps. But you know, Abraham was no different than us. So as a believer, he struggled. And so if you start in Genesis 12 and work your way over here to 22, you'll see his story, his progression as an outright pagan in Mesopotamia, which would be part of Iraq today, to this point today, where Abraham is being tested. You know, Abraham has been given God's promises, and that through him, through Abraham and his descendant, the whole human race is to be blessed. And what God has said, Abraham has believed. Now, if you start with Genesis 12 and work your way to here, yes, he's believed the Lord. But what quality? Well, it's a growing belief, but it's a real belief. And sometimes we think, well, you know, my belief should be what we call strong. It should be robust. And then we look at ourselves and go, my faith is weak. You know, it's like a mustard seed. And folks, if you know what a mustard seed is, it's this big. So if you're looking at it, or if you're just hearing it on a tape, it's like you can't see it from the podium. It's that small. But if God has given you that faith, it's enough, isn't it? It's not the quality or the size or the strength of your faith in Christ. It's who your faith is in. He's the strength. He's the perfection. He's the power. And so it's faith in him. It's trust in him. It's Christ, then, who is your all and in all. But as we look at this morning, just because you have a mustard seed of faith doesn't mean God is happy to keep you there. And so he's going to grow us as he has grown Abraham. And kids, that's called sanctification. If your faith is in Christ, you have justification. You are justified before God. But now God is pleased to grow your faith so that more and more you reflect the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, as God has been working then on Abraham all these many years, or as you read it, these many chapters. So God is testing Abraham here, and it says it very clearly. God tested Abraham. And what we mean, or what God means, I believe, about testing Abraham isn't going, let me see what Abraham's like now. Let me see how big his faith is. Let me see how much he's grown. Because God already knows. God has been in the process of growing him. It's no surprise. God knows all things. So when we see here in the text, God tested Abraham, it's not a test for God to find out about Abraham, to learn more about Abraham. Now, when he's going to test Abraham, the whole idea is to refine Abraham. So kids, sometimes when you take a test, the teacher that's giving you that test is trying to find out, what do you know, so that he or she can know how far to progress you. But you can be tested in other ways. Let's say your brother or your sister comes up and starts tapping you on the chest. And you say, stop it. Or as kids would say, stop it, right? And they do that, but they keep doing it. And you say, stop it, and they keep doing it. What's going on right now? You're in a test, aren't you? You're being tested to grow in patience, being tested to grow in love, and to fight your natural inclination, which is to what? Sock 'em, right? You're being tested to grow. And that's what's going on here with Abraham. He's being tested to grow. He's being tested to grow more intimate with God, to expose himself to God more, and in that way, become more intimate. God is bringing him, testing him, prodding him, to make obedient decisions based on what God says, based on God's word. And in that way, for Abraham to reckon, to consider, to think God's ways, and whatever God tells him to do, to consider in that way. And in the foundation of it all, to say, God is trustworthy no matter what he says to me, no matter what he calls me to do. Of course, you got to think, is this truly God's will? So be careful with that. Don't think, well, God's calling me to run across the street and see if I don't get hit. No, God's not calling you to do that. That's called presumption. That's called testing God. But no, instead, when you're tempted and you know from the word of God that you should repent or turn from it, then he's testing you. He's pushing you. He's prodding you to grow and to become more intimate with him and to know him and to know how trustworthy he is, that yes, I really can trust him, because that's really the point, isn't it? That's what we struggle with. Can I really trust you, Lord, in this thing or in that? So it's for greater intimacy with God that Abraham will be tested. And you know, we kind of know after reading this what the outcome will be. And so because of Abraham's obedient faith, because that's what we see, God will swear an oath. Now, folks, it's important to remember what an oath is. We as Americans tend to take it lightly, but an oath is more than a promise. An oath is more than just saying, I'll do this. An oath is saying, it's me. I'm betting me. I'm giving my all when we give an oath. And that's what God does to Abraham after this. Because Abraham has shown to God just who he is, how much he trusts the Lord. But it's not just for Abraham, is it? So if you don't remember anything else, remember this, that if your faith is in Christ this morning, then you have that same faith in Abraham, and he is prodding you, he's testing you to grow intimately with him. In other words, to be more real with him, to expose yourself, your inner being to him. It's not that he doesn't know, but in this sense, you're just saying, look, Lord, you know, and I'm going to confess that I admit, and I'm not going to cover anything, but I will be transparent with you. So as we look at the text on this whole idea, you know, first of all, we see in the first five verses that God is growing Abraham's faith. It says, God tested Abraham. And in verse 2, he says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Wow. Notice how he's saying, he's just pouring it on him. Take your son. Now, how long's Abraham been waiting for a son? A long time. He thought, this is impossible. I'm 100. Sarah's 90. Like, we're way past. But now we have this miracle child, which is really a sign child. A sign showing to him that, yes, God does the impossible. Things that we don't think is possible, God goes, hey, look, if I can talk the world into existence, I can surely give you kids, even though you're way past it. And then he goes more and he says, your only son. Ooh, that's a big stab. But you know, Abraham could say, well, he's technically, the way we think, we go, technically he's not Abraham's only son because he's got another son. He's got an older son, right? Ishmael. But God and Abraham don't count Ishmael as Abraham's only son, his number one son, his heir. Because Ishmael, he's the son of the world, of the slave woman, as the writer in Hebrews would say. But instead, he's a son of promise. God's promise. The sign child. And that's why he is the only son. It's not mere numbers, but it's who God says. So he is your son, your only son, your heir, your hope for the future. Isaac, laughter. The child that when you got him, you laughed because you couldn't believe it. And then to really hit whom you love. So all of these things, he's saying, okay, this one, I want you to go, take him over there. It's about a 3-day journey. And then I want you to sacrifice him. But it's, you know, when we talk about sacrifice, we're going like, okay, well then I'll not, you know, like a lot of people do, I'll give up steak for Lent. No, it's not that kind of sacrifice. Okay, he's making it real clear. He's going to be a burnt offering. Real clear. He's going to be dead. He's going to be deader than dead. He's going to be ashes. And you're going, wow, why does God do that? You know, why? It's really hard. But you know, it's important for us to remember that what is a burnt offering with God? Well, when you see it, you light it off, it burns, right? But then smoke goes up. And that smoke is symbolic. You know, when they had censers and smoke from the censers during a worship service, that was symbolic of the prayers of God's people going up to God, that he would receive them and bless them. Same with a burnt offering. You burn this animal in your place. It represents you and your sin, or you and a transgression. And it's burned, representing you, going up to God, having been forgiven by God. And that's what's going on here. God is saying to Abraham, send me your son. I want him now. Send him to me, whether you're ready or not. Give me then, Abraham, what you treasure most in this life. That's really it, right? Give me what means the most to you. And in this way, I'm testing you. I'm prodding you. I'm bringing you closer to myself. And as you know, this command, by the way, later on, I want you to read Genesis 17, verse 19 and 21, as well as Genesis 21, verse 12. Because in those verses, God says, you know what? It is through Isaac that the blessing comes. So at least Abraham's going, So I'm blessed. You're going to bless me. And the very thing that you're going to bless me with, now you want me to destroy it. And so then Abraham goes on. He goes to the place where God tells him. And on the third day, he looks and he sees. And this is, there's four times in this chapter that you see the word see, where that's translated from the Hebrew to be translated properly as the word see, or a derivative of that. So on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw. What did he see? He saw the place. What is that place? That is the place where God has called him to sacrifice his son, to give up what is most precious to him. So he's walked 3 days with this in his head. He's had plenty of time to think. But he's gone there and now he's there. Abraham sees that. And in verse 6, well, after telling the two servants he has, okay, look, and notice how he just says it. Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. very calm, very casual. Doesn't let them know what's going on in his head. And they go, okay, we'll camp here. And then he takes the wood of the sacrifice, which, by the way, if you're going to burn an animal, like a bull, or something big, or even something small like a human, it's a lot of wood, isn't it? So he puts that wood on Isaac. He puts the wood on Isaac. He lays it on his son, as the text says. He laid it on Isaac, his son. So that's a lot of wood. So you know, well, Isaac isn't two. Isaac isn't five. Although I've seen some really big, strong kids. But he's probably an adolescent at the very least. Because all this wood is going to go on him. And he's going to go up the mount with it. He's got to be pretty strong. Strong enough to carry the wood at least. And I think you noticed, most of you probably did. Something came to your mind and you said, hey, wait a minute. Isaac and carrying the wood. Well, that kind of reminds me of Jesus carrying his cross. And so it's true. In carrying the instrument of his death, Isaac, who is the sacrifice, pictures a type of Christ, our sacrifice. See, Christ carried the wood, his cross, to his death as well. And so you can see already hints at the work of Christ here with Abraham in this place. So then Abraham, his faith has been growing. God has been growing his faith. And in all this time, in all this prodding, this testing that he's been getting, his faith has been refined. That's what God has been working on, refining his faith. And so we see it here in verses 6 through 10. So they went, both of them together. And I think many of you caught this as well. The beginning of verse 6 and the ending of verse 8 are identical. They're exactly the same in Hebrew. Exactly. I checked. I looked on my computer just to make sure. So they went, both of them together. And in verse 8, so they went, both of them together. And that's kind of a technique that the ancients would use because a lot of this would be told, right? Everybody wouldn't have their own scroll. So you use techniques so people would know when things are important or emphasized. And so between these two, so they went, both of them together. You can see this intimacy here. Abraham intimate with his only son, his heir. So they went, both of them together. And in there, what do you see? Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he says this, behold, the fire and the wood. Okay, I'm carrying the wood. You got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? For a burnt offering. And notice what Abraham says. This is where we see that he's been refined. He's grown. His trust has grown. His understanding and his trust in God has grown. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And it's in this sense that we see for a second time this word see. And because this is kind of neat the way it works. For literally, it says, God will see for himself. Yeah, so the word that's translated provide, it's really God will see for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Well, what does that mean? God will see, look for himself? He's going to search around for one? No, this idea of see, well, as we know, words can have different meanings. The same word can have different meanings. So kids, here, see. God will see for himself, the Lamb. God will see to it that he has a proper sacrifice. Abraham doesn't have it. Abraham thinks he does, but he doesn't. Will a sinner suffice for God as a sacrifice to him for anything you've done wrong? Certainly not. We're full of blemishes, both outwardly and inwardly. Is that acceptable to God? No. So God, he will see to it that an acceptable sacrifice will come to him from Abraham. So that's the center then of this. So they went, both of them together. They went, both of them together, so that we will see, that God will see to it, that the proper, the acceptable sacrifice for him will be given. Now, when Abraham says this, it does sound like, okay, God will see to it for himself. You know, some of you might be thinking, well, he's kind of talking, you know, in a shadow here, so that his son doesn't kind of get spooked and maybe think, hey, I better run away from this guy who's gone crazy. You know what I mean? No, that's not it. You can see he's actually what he's saying. God will provide. But in his mind, he says God will provide that sacrifice and it's going to be Isaac. But God knows, not good enough. But for Abraham, he's not so sure, perhaps, more likely. But how would God keep his promises is probably what he's thinking, right? Like many of you thought. How's God going to keep his promises if the very promise that God has given, he's got to kill? Right? How's that going to happen? So he's probably thinking that, at least. But then we also know this. He's thinking, but if he has to go through with this, if he has to sacrifice his son, if he's got to make his son a burnt offering for real, then this much Abraham knows as well, that God will have to raise Isaac from the dead. And you're thinking, where in the text is this? You're just making this up, right? It just makes for a happier ending. Well, no. Most of you already see it. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, which, unfortunately, I think Kevin's going to cover next 2 weeks from now, but too bad. So anyway, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, he, that's Abraham, considered that God was able even to raise him, Isaac, from the dead. And it's here that we know then that what Abraham's thinking, his psychology, is this. Yeah, God is trustworthy. When he tells me to do something, if it's according to his word, then I can do it. Even though it doesn't sound sane, even though it looks like it's going to hurt me a whole lot, even though I'm going to lose a lot, even though there's going to be a heck of a lot of pain in this, I can trust him. Because what he does is always right. So Abraham believed what God said, that God would see to it that his promises to Abraham would be fulfilled. And therefore, Abraham was committed to obeying God no matter what. And that's how we see then his faith has refined. He's gotten close to God. He's gotten so intimate with God that he knows he can trust God no matter what. And so then in verse 9 and 10, we see more of this. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar, laid the wood in order, and then he tied up, kids, Isaac his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, because that's what he's going to do, he's going to burn the kid. And then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife, and the word is slaughter. Now, kids, slaughter means you don't just stab, means you cut into pieces. That's what he was going to do. He was going to cut Isaac into pieces and then burn him, because God told him. And Abraham trusted him for that. Now, kids, if someone ever tells you to do that, don't do it, because it ain't God that's telling you. But God is telling Abraham here. And you know what's interesting here is we see a second picture of Christ. You notice how Isaac doesn't make a sound. You notice he doesn't put up a fight. And like we said, he's strong enough to fight off a, I don't know, he's probably about 120 years old now. You know, Jack LaLanne was strong when he was 70. And if you don't know who Jack LaLanne is, I'm dating myself, but many of you do know, this was a man when he was 70 that to prove that he was still fit, he had his hands and his feet tied, and then he jumped in the water and he towed 70 rowboats tied together. I don't know how far he went. But see, Abraham isn't that. He's a lot older too. And he's got a young son. But you'll notice Isaac in the text, he's not doing a thing. No sound, no fight, even though he could. And so then we see another type, another picture of Christ here in Isaac. In his silence, as he's about to be executed, Isaac is a type of Christ who, on his way to the cross, did not open his mouth like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before his shears, so that he did not open his mouth. You'll find that in Isaiah 53, verse 7. So God has been growing Abraham's faith, and Abraham's faith has been refined. And then he gets to demonstrate it. His faith is demonstrated because he doesn't get to finish. In verse 12, the angel of the Lord says to him, "Don't lay your hands on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So in Abraham's actions, as he's going to sacrifice his son, he's going to put his all on the line. He's going to give his everything to God. He's putting God above all things in this world. Nothing is more precious to him than God right now. Not even his son of promise. And in this way, Abraham has demonstrated his absolute faith and trust in God. And so then God has declared this intimacy by saying, "For now I know that you fear God." And fear in, you know, has other different meanings, but in this context, fear has the idea of reverence and awe. Abraham did have reverence and awe for God. And also fear has this other meaning included here, which is obeying. To fear God is to obey him. So here then, God is saying, "You have shown to me then that you fear me, you revere me in awe, and you obey me. You do what I told you earlier, be blameless and follow me." In other words, you have given me what you treasure most in life, your only son, which is the second time we see that here. And so, of course, God did not mean to have Isaac sacrificed. And so in verse 13, we see a third time, by the way, of the word see. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. He saw. And what did he see? Behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. God has provided a substitute for Abraham. And Abraham received that substitute with joy. And then in verse 14, we see the word see again. After seeing this deliverance, this ram who is the substitute for Isaac, then Abraham says, you know what? God has provided for me. God has seen to it. So Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh. He will provide, or more literally, Yahweh, he will see. That's what it says right there in Hebrew. Yahweh, he will see. And as we know from before, Yahweh will see to it that the proper sacrifice is given to him, and that proper sacrifice is a substitute for Abraham's sacrifice. God has provided for Abraham through sacrifice. And you see Christ all over this, don't you? How are you saved, believer? Because you cannot complete the covenant of works, can you? Probably not for a second. But it's required if you expect to live with God. And yet, how did you get there? It's through the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, your and my sacrifice, the perfect substitute, perfect in his person, perfect in what he has done in his work. And so Abraham said, Yahweh, he will see. He will see to it that there is a perfect sacrifice for his people. And so Abraham's proclaiming this, isn't he? He's naming the place, letting people know, hey, this place is Jehovah Jireh. You heard that before? If you go into some of these Bible studies, Jehovah Jireh, and you go, oh yeah, God provides. Literally, Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh, he sees. What does he see? He sees what you need, and he provides it. So yes, he is the provider. And then we see again. Sounds funny. And to that day, Moses put it in the Pentateuch, on the Mount of Yahweh, which, by the way, by the time Moses is writing, where's that? It's Horeb. It's Mount Sinai. On the Mount of Yahweh. And then in our translation, it shall be provided. Well, literally, it's Jehovah. Let me see if I can say it right. Jehovah Jireh. He will appear. Another seeing verb. God will appear on the Mount of God. And when we look back on Sinai and Horeb, like Horeb is the place where Abraham saw the burning bush. And Horeb is where Mount Sinai was. And God was there, and he was seen in theophany. But you know, there's another Mount of God, and we all know it. And we call it Calvary, don't we? And that's where God was seen, sacrificed for us. The perfect sacrifice. The place where God said, I'm going to show the world a perfect sacrifice for my people. So God has been bringing up Abraham. Abraham's been refined. Abraham has shown his faith. And then, because of all that, then God says, I'm giving an oath. You know, the promises God's been giving up to now to Abraham, they're great. You're going to be a father of many nations. The whole world's going to be blessed by you. You're going to have so many people you can't count. You're going to have a land. All of that. Those are promises. Remember what we said earlier about promises? They're great. But what's better than a promise? An oath. And here then, God says, because of what you've done, Abraham, your faith in me, because you've given it all for me, you've shown it. You haven't just thought it, but you've acted. That's faith. Not just what you think and believe, but what you express. And he says, yeah, you haven't withheld anything from me, not even your son, your only son. You've given it all to me. And therefore then, all these promises, I'm going to back them up with an oath. And remember, if God breaks his oath, God is saying, I'm not God. I can't be God if I break my oath. It's solemn. It's as real as it could ever be. And so because Abraham obeyed God, God declares by oath, all his promises he will fulfill. And so that then guarantees that Abraham's seed, because in this promise, in these promises, which are now backed up by God's oath, this guarantees that Abraham's seed will become a great nation. And that from that seed will come the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham proved that he feared God above all things, that God was more important to him than anyone or anything in this world, in this age. And by God's command, Abraham offered up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, not because he was a religious fanatic, not because he was some podunk that would have not done it if he had a college education. No. Abraham did it willingly because he really did trust God. He knew God is trustworthy to fulfill what he says. And that's a lesson for us, because it's the same God. So Abraham's faith grabbed the truth that God would see to it that whatever he says is a done deal. The covenant promises must be fulfilled because God swore by his oath. He could swear by nothing higher. And remember, Abraham did this because he reckoned that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He trusted God that much. And so then, through faith, Abraham looked forward to greater things to come. A resurrection better than that picture he got through that ram, but a true resurrection of those that trust in God, the same God that Abraham trusted in, that have that same faith that Abraham has. So this morning, is that you? Do you share in that same faith that Abraham has? It doesn't mean you're to the same level as Abraham. Going back to, do you have at least a mustard seed? Do you trust in the Lord? And you could say, well, you know, I could do it better. Sure. Couldn't we all? You know, I fail so many times. Yeah. Guess what? Abraham did so many times too. It's not the quality of your faith, of my faith. It's the object in whom we trust. Jesus that saves us. Are you trusting in him? Is it him and no other that you trust in this morning and for forever? If that's true, then all the promises that Abraham are yours through his kingdom, through God's kingdom. And that, like Abraham, we one day will see God face to face, eye to eye, eternally. We have that to look forward to, despite all the tests and the trials that he puts us through. God is faithful. He's trustworthy. We can trust him. And we are called then to obey him, to fear him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being trustworthy, for being a God that we can fear. Help us then to take these tests you put us through and grow us, even as painful as it is, because our desire is you. Pray all these things in the name of the one who saved us and whom we love and whom we desire more than anything in this age or even the age to come. Amen. Let's prepare then to partake in the supper God has provided for us.